All right. So thank you all so much for joining us at Citizens Climate University this Thursday. And without further ado, let's go ahead and get started. So on the call tonight, we have the wonderful Tamara Staton. So Tamara co-founded her local Citizens Climate Lobby chapter in Portland, Oregon in 2012 and continues as a co-facilitator of the chapter today. In 2014, she stepped in as a regional coordinator for the Greater Pacific Northwest, supporting leaders in expansion efforts in Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Alaska, Hawaii, and three Pacific Island territories. In addition to her CCL endeavors, Tamara is a consultant, facilitator, coach, and educator with over 20 years of experience in the field of development and communication. So we currently have a very apt person on this call to help lead us. And on our agenda tonight, she's going to go through the importance of group culture, CCL culture, building culture and joy in your meetings, additional chapter activities, and then leave room at the end for questions. And through that, we hope to cover three learning goals, which are to highlight the transformative power that building group culture and elements of joy can provide to groups, review what CCL groups are doing to create group culture that inspires, nurtures, and motivates people, and brainstorm actions that your group can take to build on CCL's culture and play and emphasis on play. And with that, I'll turn it over to
you. Okay. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Thanks, Sarah, for the introduction. And I'm really excited to be here with everybody tonight. Just share that this webinar and our discussion around building culture in our chapters is based on the second pillar of transformational organizing, which is a framework that we use within CCL, creating a group culture that inspires, nurtures, and motivates people. So that's what it's all about in CCL, right? We want people to take action that moves us all forward in life, closer to a livable world. And when people feel nurtured, then they tend to take action longer, and it also feels nice. So, but before we talk about, next slide, please. Before we talk about how we do this, let's explore the meaning and importance of group culture. So according to sociologists, next slide, thanks. And as highlighted by Dr. Nikki Lisa Cole, culture consists of the values, beliefs, systems of language, communication, and practices that people share in common and that can be used to define them as a collective. It is important for shaping social relationships, maintaining and challenging social order, determining how we make sense of the world and our place in it, and in shaping our everyday actions and experiences in society. So this means, in essence, that the culture that we create within CCL can help people make sense of their place and their role in the climatosphere, as I like to call it, and ultimately potentially shape who they are as a member of society. So this is a big role, and we attempt to create this overarching culture within our CCL chapters to support people in making sense of it all. So Dr. Cole continues by pointing out that sociologists define the non-material aspects of culture as the values and beliefs, language, communication, and practices that are shared in common by a group of people. That's us. Expanding on these categories, culture is made up of our knowledge, common sense, assumptions, and expectations. It is also the rules, norms, laws, and morals that govern society, the words we use, as well as how we speak and write them. Culture is also what we do and how we behave and perform. How we welcome people into our chapter, that is our culture. How we listen to those with different opinions. How we speak, how much we speak in a conversation. How we respond in the media to bills that aren't ours. All of that is optimally defined by our culture as an organization. So if we dip into CCL in regards to the definition and meaning of culture, the second pillar of transformational organizing says, an organization's culture is its identity. Research has shown that organizations with strong identity or culture have more motivated people in it, and that's important to our success. So clearly, it's in our best interest to be intentional about the culture that we're building in our chapters, to take steps to integrate the CCL way into what we do locally. It can make the difference between a thriving chapter and a struggling one, an active chapter and one that's in progress, which ultimately translates to more opportunities for turning our members of Congress into co-sponsors of our bill and reaching our overarching goal of a livable world. So in addition, building a tightly knit culture, including joy and elements of play, is not only fun, but it also helps us be more effective at building resilience amidst so much challenging news and addressing climate change. People are wanting and needing more lightness in this work, which seems counterintuitive to what's possible because, hey, we're working in climate change, but is actually quite the opposite. So there are a few areas to look in order to flush out what the CCL way is and the organizational culture. So let's spend a few minutes talking about what is the culture of CCL. So first of all, if we consider our two-part mission statement, we exist for two reasons. Number one, to create the political will for climate solutions and on a bigger stage, a livable world. And number two, to empower individuals to have breakthroughs in their personal and political power. As is made clear in this statement, at our foundation, we are four things. Two things in this case, one could say, climate solutions and individual breakthroughs. This is something we try to make very clear in our climate advocacy training. We are for, not against. So in this way, we speak out when we like something. We publicize which aspects of the new climate bills we appreciate, and we pivot to our bill that similarly achieves that goal. We find the benefits in the actions that someone takes, or we choose to say nothing at all. And what this does, among other things, is to support us in having positive relationships with people and other organizations, and this in turn moves us closer to our two goals. So in addition to our mission, we have values that guide us in the CCL way: focus, integrity, optimism, diversity, personal power, relationships, and being nonpartisan, or I like to also think of that one as inclusivity. And these values guide us in our way of being well in action and conversation or consideration. So even when we're in our head, these values can guide us. And Sarah might add the CCL values link into the chat. Thank you, DC, for adding the mission. So as highlighted in the second pillar, we should teach people about our culture, the CCL way, as deliberately as we teach them how to lobby or write a letter to the editor. But how do we actually do this? When someone joins CCL, they have lots of questions, like when we meet and how our legislative proposal works and how they can take action. And at the same time, they're learning all of this stuff. They learn how we work together. From the moment they first contact us, they discover the culture of our organization. This is part of how they learn and what our culture is, by watching and participating in how we do things. But it can also help to explore the depth of the CCL way and then consider how that translates into action. The national organization provides several ways to build culture. So I'll go through these. The monthly call and the concept of the monthly meeting not only provides information to volunteers, but also allows for just building a sense of community. Especially listening to the call live makes it much easier to build a culture of inclusion and collaboration and hope. And I'll go into that in a minute more with the Portland experience. Being live with so many people, other people around the country, really adds a sense of spark that just isn't possible when you either skip the call, listen to it on your own, or listen to a recording. So the introductory call and the climate advocate training also use quotes and stories to convey our culture to volunteers, to new volunteers. And one of my favorites is this one by Evie White. You may know it. Every morning I awake torn between a desire to save the world and an inclination to savor it. This makes it hard to plan the day. But if we forget to savor the world, what possible reason do we have for saving it? In a way, the savoring must come first. So what does this say about our culture? It says that it's not all about the work. We need to appreciate what's around us. It's about balance, and we can use this to connect to others. So that's, you know, speaks pretty loudly to our culture. In addition, the CCL blog uses stories to convey what's important to us. So I went and I looked at a couple of examples of the more recent titles, and one of them was Sam Daly Harris Speaks to the Power of Grassroots Advocacy. Another one, Flood Survivors Join Forces to Change Policy. So even just the words that are used by the writers of the blog really sends a message about how we do things in CCL. So it can be helpful to remind volunteers of these resources at your meetings, especially newcomers, by sharing your experiences with them or pointing them out on the new volunteer handout. So there are also some unspoken cultural aspects of CCL, like the importance of integrating joy and a sense of play into what we do, and the value of purpose and how that drives us as humans. Those things aren't necessarily written down as much as the values are, for example, but they really are a huge part of who we are. And sometimes when thinking about culture, like if I were to ask you, what is the culture of your family? It can be somewhat challenging to figure out what the culture is. And so sometimes I like to think about what the culture isn't. So to consider other organizations similar in nature, or other families, but that are different. So do we hang from bridges, lie on railroad tracks, or march and yell obscenities? I think most of us can answer those questions. We might do that, but is it? It's in the how we do these things. And sometimes culture is really conveyed partly in the what we do, but more deeply in the how we do what we do. And so by thinking about those things, it can really help us highlight what we do, how we do it, and why that's important to us as an organization. So if we consider all these concepts individually, you might notice that they in some ways guide us in how to be, like I was just referring to, and in other ways on what to focus. And this can be really helpful as we return to the question of how do we actually integrate the CCL way into our meetings. So in our climate advocacy training, as I referred to before, in addition to talking about how we're for and not against, we also lay out the framework and intention of the monthly chapter meetings. And we come together to do four things. Educate ourselves or learn. We come to get inspired or celebrate, practice, and take action. And this deeply reflects the culture of our organization by spending time on what's important to us and avoiding those activities or processes or conversations that aren't important to us. So again, it's not just what we do, but it's also what we're not doing. So I wanted to share a bit about some of my experience outside of CCL. One of the hats that I've worn is as a consultant, next slide, thanks Sarah, working with owner-operated solar companies on improving team culture and communication. And when I first started doing this work, I was pretty intimidated and I wasn't exactly sure if I knew what I was doing. But as I spent more time with the companies, it became very clear to me that there were some key things that they could be doing to shift the tone and the mood and the culture. Things like having regular meetings and communicating clearly and making sure people knew and liked the roles that they were playing. And while those things seemed simple, I was shocked at how the integration of some simple changes so drastically changed the culture of the organization. So if you're a group leader, it might seem like changing one or two things about the way that you're meeting or how you're meeting or what you do in your meetings isn't going to make that much of a difference. But I'd be curious to hear about the changes that you might implement and how that has an impact as I've noticed that it's had when I've tried that. So I also wanted to refer to my experience as Portland volunteer and facilitator over the years. So in Portland, we've only ever had two meetings, I can remember two, in 7 years where we have not listened to the national call live together. Our meetings are long, they're 2.5 hours long, and while there has been some group discussion over the years about listening to the call on our own and shortening our meetings, the community has been really clear that they don't want to lose all that the live call offers. So there are also a number of other things that we do in Portland to integrate the CCL way and build a strong community. So we try to integrate, next slide, thanks. We try to integrate all of the values into what we do in Portland, especially relationship, focus, diversity, being nonpartisan, optimism, personal power, and integrity. So integrity, as an example, we start and end on time. I was assuming that everybody started and ended on time, but in talking to some group leaders, I realized that's not necessarily a given. So diversity is another value that I see us incorporating into our meetings. So with my background as a development coach and working with different people of different personalities and helping people process change in their lives, and as well as teaching, actually, I consider that people have different learning different personalities and learning styles and needs that support them in staying engaged, focused, and hopeful. Especially for, you know, what we have in Portland is a 2.5 hour long meeting. We need to mix it up a good bit. I think the general population doesn't like meetings. So trying to mix up a meeting that keeps people engaged and having them come back for more, because they don't have to come to our meetings, right? It's not like they're employees of ours and they just have to come. So we keep our meetings really full. People tend to like that, and it does appeal to many personality types. And we mix our meetings up a good bit, which people seem to respond pretty well to. We have about 30 to 40 people on average. Many people who have been around for 5 or 6, a couple of them even 7 years. And here's the diversity of activity that we do, which also speaks to the goals a bit. So we have open social time. So we have meet and greet, a pre-meeting time with food and coffee. We have community building. So initial introductions in a circle, or more recently, we sit in a horseshoe, like an open horseshoe, because a circle is just, we have too many people for a circle. We have announcements, CCL and community announcements when we have time. Then we do the live conference call. We have a 10-minute break, which allows for socialization to eating. And then we also encourage people to take action during that time. They fill out a constituent comment form. We also break into partners. So we do the communication practice, or sometimes the laser talk in partners, which allows people a different way to interact with people. Not just in a big group, but one-on-one, which is more safe for some people. We then celebrate successes as a group. So that's giving an opportunity to sort of bring that aliveness and that joy into the meeting space. It sort of feeds the hope shot, as somebody said at our meeting a long time ago, that they come to our meetings for a hope shot, which is a phrase that I've always loved over the years. So and then we take action. We break into breakout groups and small groups. And again, so it's large group, small group, partnered activities, mixing it up so that not just myself or my co-facilitator are talking. And then we come back and we report out on the small group plans. So all of those things, I've tried really hard to mix it up so that it keeps people engaged and people keep coming back. So I also wanted to talk about a couple other things that we've done in Portland as an example. Next slide. Thanks. We have recently developed a buddy system in order to help integrate newer members into our chapter and help them feel more integrated and included and grounded in how things work and where they can find resources. So it looks like this. We, in the middle of our meeting, once new members have had a chance to sort of settle in, get a sense of who we are and how we do things, touch our culture a little bit, we make an announcement that anybody who is interested in, any new members who are interested in going to coffee or beer with an experienced member has the opportunity to do that through our buddy system or our mentor program. And so what we do is we send around a sign-up sheet, and the sign-up sheet has, you know, it's like a spreadsheet, and it has a place for list your name, whether you're new or returning, whether you'd like to go out for coffee or beer, what part of town you live in, and sorry, I'm trying not to read the chat, but I'm going to get to those questions. Sarah's going to help me read those in a minute. What part of town you live in, and whether you'd like to meet in the evening or the daytime. And then one of our membership team helps those people, just pairs them up, and then sends an email to introduce them to each other, and then they go out for coffee or beer. And I went out, I've done that twice, and it was just such a joyful, positive experience both times, and really just valuable for me to be able to connect with somebody newer, and very valuable for that newer person to be able to connect with me as well. The other thing, let me just check this chat real quick. I'll just keep going and then we'll get to questions. So go ahead, if you do have a question, pop it into the chat, and then Sarah can read those to me later. So the other thing I wanted to mention is community building activity that I recently did at our regional breakout in June in DC. We did this activity in this breakout session where I had people partner up, And while one partner was sharing something important to them, which as I prompted them, share something important to you for about 2 minutes, the other one was listening for values. And one way to listen for values is to just listen for what feels really important to that person as they're talking. And in the middle of the activity, I interrupted them as a group. I think I rang my bell and I asked them to freeze. And I walked around the room and I pointed out what I noticed. And what I saw is distinct body language that I was seeing that made it clear that people were listening to each other. So I'm going to ask anybody who has a thought, like, to just unmute. I'm going to ask for a little bit of interaction here. What do you think some of the things were that I saw when I asked, when I walked around the room and people were listening? What kind of body language do you think that we saw? Yes, nodding. Yep. A couple others that I'll mention. People were turned towards each other. People had their legs crossed towards one another often. People had open chests toward each other as opposed to crossed arms. So that was a really valuable experience, and people had fun with it too, because it was sort of like this freeze frame little game. So I also wanted to mention another practice that we've done, that I've participated in, and that is CCL has an action team called the peer support team, and this team supports CCLers in building resiliency around the work that we do. Thank you for adding that. It's, let's see. Yeah, that's the group event. So there's a new peer support team being formed on September 8th. And again, the link's in the chat. And basically what it is, it's a 12-week program. And I'm going to see, oh yeah, there it is. It's based on this book called The Ongo Book. And what I love, it's a mix of Zen Buddhism and nonviolent communication. And it's a beautiful program that is structured out to support the group and support the partner and support the individual. And you can dive in to it all the way where you do all the solo and the buddy and the group practices, or you bring whatever energy you have to the table for that 12 weeks. I facilitated an Ongo group, which is, I don't even like to say I facilitated it, because while I got the group going and I was the primary facilitator, we ended up alternating facilitators every time. And what I noticed as in participating with this group, we did it with my region, and I feel a sense of connection to those people in my region that were in that Ongo group with me in a different way than I feel to many other CCLers. And the other thing I noticed is, I changed my way of being. Even right now, as I'm talking about it, I notice, like, I'm just sitting back in my chair. Like, all the other conference calls that I had led up to then, I was like leaning forward and feeling like I gotta go get them and I gotta remember everything. And when I started being a different way in that Ongo group, I just really realized, like, what if I brought my Ongo, my peer support resilient way to all the other things that I do in CCL? Like, what would that be like? And so that was, I really highly recommend checking out the peer support group. I would love to be a part of another one. So like I said, September 8th is another one starting. And then the last thing I want to mention up for this slide is some gratitude research. Researchers analyzed some findings to figure out how practicing gratitude does 4 things in particular. I'm sure it does more, but this is what the research said. Number 1, gratitude disconnects us from toxic negative emotions and the ruminating that often accompanies them. So writing a letter of gratitude shifts our attention so that our focus is on positive emotions. The second thing they found is that expressing gratitude helps us even if we don't explicitly share it with someone. We're happier and more satisfied with life because we completed the exercise. The third thing they found was that positive effects of gratitude writing compound like interest. So you might not notice the benefit of a daily or weekly practice, but after several weeks and months, you will notice. And the fourth benefit was that a gratitude practice trains the brain to be more in tune with experiencing gratitude. A positive plus a positive equals more positive. It's sort of like playing slug bug. when you see VWs all over the place, or when we were trying to buy a car and trying to figure out what kind of car we wanted. All of a sudden, all over the place, I saw the car that I wanted. So it does, it's the same impact with gratitude. So it's from positivepsychology.com, the benefits of gratitude. So much like we built out on the importance of culture, I want to talk for a minute about the value of play. So according to primatologist Isabel Benchke, as quoted on the TED Radio Hour, which Sarah is going to put in our chat, play increases creativity and resilience and is all about the generation of diversity of interactions and connections. Play is our adaptive wild card. In order to adapt successfully to our changing world, we need to play. In times when it may seem least appropriate to play, it might be the times when it's most urgent. I wanted to talk for a bit about a number of activities that we and many other chapters do that also succeeds with integrating joy and a sense of play into our chapter. Yeah, next slide. Thanks. This one's perfect. So in that photo, I'll just share for a moment. That's me in the middle, and we are riding these big adult-sized trikes. And that was at a fundraising event where back in my day when I had all brown hair, when all of my hair was brown. And we were riding around on these big trikes, and we did this presentation where about the youth that we had taken out. It was a seasonal outdoor recreation therapy program. So just even being able to integrate play into a professional dinner, sometimes it seems like the two don't mix. And sometimes I know that in my mind, I've felt like adults don't want to play, but it's been fun for me to be able to play with adults, because my background is in teaching. And so to be able to bring my sense of play and doing summer camps and leadership camps and being in the classroom with middle and high school students, and to transition all of that former work to my climate work, which has been with all adults, it's been really fun to be able to see, like, where can I play? Where will adults let me play? And to get to this bulleted list here, I'll share a couple of things that have worked for others, as well as some additional ones that we've used in Portland. And at the end, I'll ask you to share any ideas that you have that you've either tried or that you might like to try. So food and social time, I think for a lot of us, is the easiest way to think of integrating a sense of play. It lightens the mood. Combining social time with climate work and on a regular basis. Sean Daig of Mid-Hudson South shared that this past weekend, or at least recently, they did a potluck with their active volunteers, as well as the active volunteers from the neighboring group to our north, and they had tons of fun with that. And Mark Tabbert, the Orange County chapter in California, he does socials open to neighboring chapters as well on a fairly regular basis. Informal potlucks, no one has to bring food, but mostly do bring food or wine. They like to do it from 4 to 6 on Sundays. They had a whale watching event and had 35 people, including kids and grandkids, come, and that was 3 chapters participated. So the other thing that I thought I might mention is that the opening question that we choose in Portland, it creates laughter and lightness, and we're intentional about the question we choose, not so much as an opportunity for people to get to know each other, because with 30, 35, 40 people, even with 20 people going around the room, most people don't even remember your name, right? So the intention becomes a little bit different. And so we ask questions like, what gives you hope? That brings the mood up. What do you love about your mom? We try to think about what month we're in. If Mother's Day is around, we'll add something about 3 adjectives to describe your mom. What was the best Halloween costume you ever wore or saw? That was one of the favorite questions we had. Top 3 adjectives that describe your summer. We also, like I said, we celebrate our successes as a group. That brings the mood up. We also break into smaller groups, which I also referenced before. That allows people to feel more comfortable sharing their ideas. A lot of people just don't want to share in a group of 20 or 30 or even bigger. And this breaking into smaller groups really sends the message that their ideas and their actions matter, and that we really want to support them in contributing those to the space. And then there's something that it can be really easy to let crisis lead in our climate work. And I think what I've heard over the years from volunteers that come to our Portland meetings is that they like our meetings, not only because they move, we keep things going, and because there's a variety of activity, but also because the mood is lighter. There's a mood that I set as a facilitator, a tone of action, a tone of focus, but also of lightness and fun. I try to make jokes when I can. I like to laugh at myself. I try to do things that make people laugh or at least smile a little bit when I can. And I also make it okay for people to share and to be human and vulnerable. And I think that with this, it's being diligent and mindful about the tone that we set with the conversations that we have. And then sometimes, you know, people are going to bring things. I'm sure that many of you have experienced this in your chapter. People bring things to the table and to the space that aren't necessarily aligned with our values. I just heard an experience from some volunteers recently, this past meeting, and there was a new member, and this member was really sorely disappointed with the conference call and was operating in a way that we generally don't operate in CCL. So as opposed to changing the actions of this volunteer, it's a matter of like, how do we validate what this person, the concerns that this person has, and then pivot into our values. So it's a validate and pivot move, which takes some practice. But then even having these volunteers, having any volunteer come to our space, and you know, maybe they're in a space where they're really needing to just offload some of their concern, and so it turns into sort of this negative rant. And how do we role model and respond to that person while still having a culture of optimism, as an example, right? Because we don't want to just sugarcoat things, and we want people to be authentic. But at the same time, you know, we do want to infuse our chapters with the culture, the CCL way. So I'd love to hear what ideas that you guys have.
Yeah, so here in Fresno, we use music. We've formed our own little group called the Climate Changers. And so once in a while at our Christmas events or holiday events, they'll perform, and or we'll just have kind of an informal sing-along as we're supposedly practicing our songs.
Nice.
All right.
Thanks, Connie, for contributing. Uh-huh.
So our group is going to have a potluck cookout on Saturday, and we're going to play lawn games afterwards, like bocce ball.
That's awesome. I love that. So there are some other ways to build your group's culture. We've just been talking about infusing joy and lightness into what we do as groups, but there are other ways to build culture that are not necessarily focused on the fun and lightness part. So you can give people a chance to talk about what they care about during an opening or closing exercise, especially with small groups. I think Susan just said, we have a small group. We have a huge group in Portland, right? So we usually limit people, you know, while we don't cut them off at 30 seconds, we usually give them, you get one sentence or you get three adjectives. But with a small group, you can actually delve a little bit. I would suggest that you still give people a boundary, because otherwise you might just get somebody going off for 5 minutes and that might be too much for what you're wanting. But you can do it as a round robin, you can do it as partners. So, you know, break into partners for 5 minutes and share. And then you can have somebody, a couple people just share something that stood out for them. So you might have questions like, what do you love that you want to save? Or who inspires you? What gives you hope for humanity? Or you might close with questions like, what kind of person do you want to be this month? Or what are you for this week, as opposed for versus against, right? What actions will you do this month? So all those questions are a great way to really build our culture. Another idea is to ask someone to briefly share something that they did that models the CCL values. That's a really nice direct way to do that. And also a really nice way to celebrate. or you could even have somebody elect, you could have other people talk about what they saw in others. Sometimes it can be hard for people to highlight what they've done because that might feel too vulnerable for them. But you can ask them to elect what they see in other people. You might ask someone to share a story from the group's history or CCL's history. Or you might use quotes to say who we are, whether they're quotes that you found or quotes that you've heard through CCL. So as an example, if you're a group leader, you might bring a quote to the meeting that really represents our values in a sense. You could also convey your culture by integrating it into what your group does rather than telling people what to do or how to be. Again, it's that how we do things versus trying to change somebody's way about them. You can create opportunities for people to get to know each other. So like the buddy system or the mentor system that we were talking about, or doing shares in partners. And you could invent a fun tradition for your group. Like Connie was talking about, they have this music thing that they do, which is so awesome. Another group created commercials to demonstrate each value being lived out in their group. I love that idea. So it's totally okay to be silly. So with that, I'm going to turn it back to Sarah.
And lastly, here is Tamara's contact information in case you have any questions after today's call that didn't get answered. Her email is tamara.staten@citizensclimatelobby.org. And you can also ask questions on the forums in community if there is something that you wanted to pose a bigger discussion topic, like maybe ask what different opportunities for play other chapters have incorporated, or any questions at all that you have that any other staff members could get back to. That'll also be on community under the Connect with Others tab. And with that, I'll turn it back to Tamara.
Okay, perfect. So I found the photo. Oh, Captain Dividend and Carbon Fifi. So they made this whole thing, and then they had people come and stand behind it and take pictures of it.
So.
Well, thanks, everybody. It was great to have you all here. And Sarah, thanks for being my tech support in the process on this recording. It was a pleasure to be with you. And if you have any culture questions, you know where to find me.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram @CitizensClimate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration. And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.